But he has so much fun flying, you don't want to stop him. It's like, can you not do that?
Welcome to the RC Roundtable Podcast, where we discuss the latest RC hobby news, events, model reviews, and a whole lot more.
Hi ho!
Welcome.
I get that reference.
I'll go any further with that reference.
Yeah,
the family show.
It was great. It's an inside joke, but that was awesome.
Well, welcome, folks, to the Happy Giggly RC Roundtable, episode number 193. Yes. If your screen looks surprisingly lower populated or unpopulated this time, we have one less person here. Our esteemed co-host Terry Dunn has.
How is Fitz going to spin this?
He was professionally invaded.
Politely. Politely. And he paid for it, too.
Yeah, and he paid for the honor. So you remember, I think the last show we talked about, you know, when you start hitting middle age, you got to have all this crap done to you. And one of them was colonoscopy stuff. And so yeah,
plumbing.
Plumbing, yeah. He got roto-rooted. And so he's a bit under the weather for a little while I was recovering. So it's just Lee and I. Sorry, guys. Lee and I tonight. Lee, how you doing?
I'm good, Fitz.
You going to make it?
Am I what?
You going to make it?
I hope so. I didn't have any surgery this morning.
I had mental surgery called work.
So listen, Fitz, you haven't installed your Cat 6 yet, have you?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
I wonder why. Why is Fitz frozen today? I gotta invite myself over to his house. Just exactly. I'm here. Got my tools. Little tool belt on. Let's do this. All right. Just curious. All right. So for those of you who hadn't been keeping up to date with our show, I bought him the whole box of Cat 6 cabling that I got at an estate sale for like $6. What a steal, man.
So, I'm holding the floor down right now. So,
so get him to full 1 gigabit of speed. I don't know what you've got in your network card, but.
Oh, yeah. The router itself is pretty good, but it's on the opposite side of the house.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's not say we did.
Throw it over the roof.
Throw it over the roof. Take it down the side of the house through the front yard.
Just paint it shit tile color and move on. They won't care.
Tile and grass color as whatever goes over. Cement.
Oh, anyway, I could pick on you for a long time. But anyway, we got some stuff to talk about. We'll make it a semi-quick show because we haven't had one in a while because we've been busy. And we felt like we owed it to you guys to have something to, you know, listen to our escapades, as they were. So Fitz and I had visited my club's Swap Meet and Warbird Funfly. And that was, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
And we had a good time. And I think I told everybody I had my trailer packed and I was going to be there all day, which I pretty much was. Brought some planes to fly and planes to sell. And on the whole, it was pretty good. So what was your take, Fitz?
Yeah, I agree. It was pretty nice. It was really nice weather. And you guys had a really good turnout. And so I did a little bit of flying. Thanks for your help on some of the video recording. And,
oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I've got the CJ tip right there.
I'm going to sidetrack. Let's derail our conversations like I always do. I have to apologize. I guess my old age or whatever, something's happening to my arms and my hands, but I was videotaping for Fitz and my arm just started seizing up holding the camera and I just couldn't hold anymore. And I finally just said, Fitz, I'm done. I'm not recording. I kept it recording so we'd be synced to his camera, but I was
in
agony trying to record that. So I hope you were able to piece something together with my footage.
Yeah, yeah, the video went live. It's now on my HobbyView page.
Oh, dear Lord, did you make fun of me? I hope not.
No.
Okay. So yeah, if you look at some of the, for those of you who are watching on YouTube, you can see the photos I'm sharing that are on our Facebook page. But yeah, blue sky, beautiful weather. I mean, this is the kind of weather you hope for best. It was just gorgeous.
It was really, really nice. I really couldn't ask for much better. And I don't know how many you had for flying pilots, but you had a nice contingent of warbirds out there.
Yeah. Texas Warbird Thunder Team came out.
Yeah, yeah. So everything from World War I to modern era. Ooh, video. Oh, that's what the, that was a Sato 90, I believe.
Oh, it was a Sato. Oh, God, I thought it was a Moki.
No, it was, the plane was too small. Yeah, he said it was a Sato 90 in that Waco.
Waco, Waco.
Waco.
Yeah.
And for those on YouTube, yeah, this is a Beechcraft Baron, is it? No, not a Baron. A King Air. And this one really caught my attention. I saw that. I was like, ooh. Hello. but it was, some sort of scratch build. And I forgot what engines it was. I think he said four strokes were in it originally of some sort. So really pretty snazzy, but it was also kind of large. I'm already running out of room. So, but the price on it was very fair, I thought. I don't know if you saw it, Lee, or looked at it or anything like that.
No, it says $200.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very reasonable for that.
It
was not a small plane. And it had retracts and no engines, though. I think the engines were separate. But still, just for an unusual plane, I thought that just kind of cool.
Cool beans. And I'll just peruse through here. This is my trailer and my setup, and I guess I'll kind of share something. I don't think I mentioned it on the last episode, but I ended up bringing all three of the large planes I've acquired in the last 2 months, including the two blue ones I bought in Georgetown. And I don't know what, I guess I heard this little voice in my head when I was in my garage, stepping around everything, you know, not trying to trip over all my junk. And I just couldn't, if you look at this picture, I can't zoom in, unfortunately, on the screen here, but if you look at the T-Craft at the bottom, that very weird wing assembly, just this tiny little strut, not even a strut, but the whatever you call that piece, I don't know. I never had faith in it, and I didn't have the struts for that plane. And although I did like the Bud Nosen Champ that was there, and it didn't look like it had ever flown, I just told myself, it's like, I'm going to try to sell all three planes. You know, I'm not sure I feel comfortable with any of them. And I pretty much gave away the blue plane there, the Taylor Craft that's in that picture. I mean, I really did give it away. It was kind of beat up, but I mean, really for the price, I think that it was a steal. And I did, the Champ was a fun story that, Tim Ott, bought it from me. I think he, crashed one like a day or two before. and so he's like, what perfect timing.
How convenient.
Yeah. So I sold all three planes at the swap meet, and I think I broke even. So I don't, you know, no win, no loss. That's okay. And I did sell the Electra, Goldberg Electra in the FAR to Joshua Ash, who flew it like the same day. it's funny. The reason I sold that Electra is that I have a hate relationship with it. I took it to Nats. I competed with it with Nats. I sucked terribly with that. It just was like a freaking rock. Just got off the tow hook and just came
sounds
right
like my
back.
My Electra experience years ago.
Just like, you know, but it just, I mean, I just could not get that thing to float. And so I just really hated it. And then Austin took it out of my hands, said, I'll compete with it, Dad. And he freaking like doubled the time. And I was like, I'm done. So the punishment was I got rid of it. But
did you tell Austin?
No, I don't think he knows, but he still has his plane. The one he competed with, the one he did real well, I wasn't going to get rid of that one. So, I'll sum up here. I had a good time. I think I got rid of stuff that I really didn't need and had some nice conversations with some folks out there and, you know, still had a good time flying, but I digress. So go 10 swap meets. Oh, talk about these tanks.
Yeah, that was what was his name? Forgot his name. Yeah, it was a bunch of tanks. Some of them were RC, some were just static models, but it was a really nice collection of World War II various armor, American and German. Just really large. These were, you know, at least maybe 10 scale. Even the tanks were probably at least 10 scale or larger. So it was really neat to see them set up like that. And there was an anti-aircraft gun over there in a corner somewhere. A shrimp wagon and just a few different variations of red tanks. I think there's I don't know if that's a Stuart. What is that? I can't recognize the screen as well. But it was just kind of neat. He was just setting up. I said, hey, you need some tanks?
Right here. I think he said the same thing to me. Hey, buddy, you want a tank?
Tapes, armors, and aircraft guns, jeeps. What you got? Well, I got what you need. Yeah. So that was kind of neat to see that. This gentleman had a couple of nice planes. The B-25, I guess in flight metal, really nice and shiny and sparkly. And a Newport 28, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, four-figure on the B-25.
Yeah, B-25 was not for the faint of heart, but I thought he had actually quite reasonable price on the Newport.
500?
Yeah, I think 500 rated flight, basic receiver ready, I think. Yep. Gas engine. I think it was gas engine in that one, if I remember correctly. The picture of the flight line, just random stuff. We had electric, gas, glow, there's a little B-24.
Go ahead. I was saying, in the photo, you see flags. They were never in that same position very long.
The wind was very, very light, very variable.
Very variable, yeah. Exactly what I was going to say. There were several times we took off and immediately realized the wind's not going that direction. And some poor fella was landing fast downwind.
Yeah, it was a 50-50 chance that the direction you took off would not be the direction you landed in.
Yeah, that was not pretty. Lost the nose. Was that Dick Jones? Yeah, I
think it was Dick Jones. Yeah, did you see? I got that on video.
Oh no, I just saw you had a picture that you shared.
Is that the one that he lost the wheel, right?
I was talking about the lost the entire nose of the airplane.
Oh. Yeah, and he landed wheels up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost the wheel on takeoff.
Oh, I did not see that. Oh.
Yeah, okay, he took off, the wheel went pa-ding.
Yeah, so but if he only landed the other direction, may not have been so bad.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think he landed downwind.
$250.
I saw that zero. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A hurricane.
This is a zero hurricane. I see to see a hurricane. Don't see hurricanes that very often.
Oh, there it is.
That was for sale. There it is. Yeah. So I made a short video of him landing. Well, trying to land. It didn't end well. But there's my E-Flight Fucker Wolf. I wrapped the dust off of it and flew around. I keep forgetting how such a nice flying model that is. I mean, and there's another one there too. One of my club members had. There was a Moraine Saulnier, just like the big one I have, but it's not mine. It's somebody else's.
But a fun story here is this: the one that was in the raffle.
Yeah, I think it did go in the raffle, didn't it?
Yeah,
so I think he was selling it. It didn't sell. He put it in a raffle.
Yeah. So do you know the story about that? Were you there? You're sitting next to me, weren't you?
You have to remind me. Sure that people want to know.
So he was raffling off the plane, and he said, but the engine is not included.
Right,
If you want the engine, you can buy the engine and take the plane. But if you don't want the engine, I'll have to take it out. So it's like he was, you know, dismantling it because I guess the guy didn't want the engine. It's like, how long do you wait to get your raffle prize?
Wait, I thought he got it with the engine.
I thought he was. I mean, it looked like they were taking it apart.
I think maybe they started, but I think that they came to an agreement or something and ended up taking it.
It's like halfway done. Oh no, yeah. I'll keep it.
I think they ended up starting it up later. Running it. So yeah,
I wasn't standing it. So who knows? Maybe they were just troubleshooting something. But I just thought it was funny.
They got it up.
There's and Logan.
Is you and Logan? Logan with FPV, Lee flying something. I don't remember which one. Maybe a P-38.
Oh, yeah, it's probably my P-38. Well, that's all I had for my photos. I
thought it was a neat shot. Okay. So you sold everything. Did you buy anything?
I bought parts. And oddly enough, because I'd already bought the part like a month or so ago, the guy next to us who was like getting out of the hobby, he just had tons of toolkits. just filled with engines or servos, and most of it was antiquated. But I came across two E-Flight bags of the nose gear for the T-28 models, like the original. Oh, wow. And it's a piece of plastic with a little pivot arm, and you know, it's very awkward because it has a curve to it, the way it fits. And I've broken two, at least, in the T-28s that I have. And he just happened to have two new in package, so I bought those bad boys.
Ooh, snap those suckers up, yeah.
Well, I mean, I just know I'm going to break another one, so those are good to have. And it's stuff like that you look for, you know, just like, what parts do I need that I'll jump back onto? And since my son, my oldest son, will not be listening to this podcast, I doubt it, I did buy something that I thought makes me a super dad. Although, sorry, Ryan, I didn't get you anything. I did look for B-25s, and I did, in fact, asked Fitz to be on the lookout for a UMX B-25. There was a UMX A5, Icon A5 there, and it was in mint condition. I mean, the guy had flown it, but it was beautiful. And I didn't even balk at his price. I just said, here's your money. I'll take it. And since, again, I haven't told Austin, it's sitting in his bedroom right now. So he comes home this weekend for spring break, and I'm looking forward to him getting excited about that, because that was like one of the, you know, planes he's been hunting for. Is really? To complete his little series of icons.
Oh, his icon fan?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
His iconic icons?
Fan. Yeah. I mean, really? You know that, right? You know he's a huge icon fan.
No, not really. I know he liked them, but I didn't know he was such a big fan.
Oh, huge fan. In fact, just for fun here, it's our show. We can do whatever we want, right? Give me a second here. I'm going to click info, and is it going to pull it up or just stay there? All right, let me give myself a little bit bigger screen here. Can you see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's when he sat in one at Oshkosh, right?
That he sat in that one, and they usually don't let people get in the planes. So.
Oh, he sweet talked them to let them sit in it.
Yeah. So I thought that was
cool.
So yeah, it's. He's talking about getting his pilot's license, and I think for sure if he finds a good job and he gets it, he wants
an icon.
Probably, well, if not, he'll at least want to fly one someday.
Did I ever tell you about the one the time I saw one pop into the little lake behind where I work?
No.
Did I tell you about that? Oh, that was 2 or 3 years ago. I just happened to look out the window, and I see, you know, in the distance, I said, hey, that's an icon. He's getting really low. He's landing in the lake. And he did. He landed.
He can. All right. Yeah. So, all right. Now I've got to show you this picture. So give me 1 second here, guys. I love our show. I like how we can just banter and talk about this, but a friend posted this yesterday or a couple of days ago. All right. Maybe I sent this to you. Can I zoom up? There we go. So give me a second here. Those of you listening, just be patient. You'll have nothing else to see, but did I show you that?
No.
So, it was in this photo is a Tesla Cybertruck towing an Icon A5.
Yeah.
And I sent this to Austin. I said, dream away, buddy. And you know what? This is the best part. He said, Dad, if I get a Cybertruck, I'm going to replace it with a petrol engine.
Sacrilege.
No, sacrilege. He knows. He knows. Anyway, that's some people have all the luck, right?
Yes, and all the money.
Yep. So, yeah, she came across
motor and Icon.
I forget where they were, but they have little Sea-Doos or something like that, and she snapped this photo. So that was kind of cool.
I saw a Cybertruck in the flesh about a week ago. First time I'd seen one. Actually, I saw it's funny. I saw it, and then I saw another one like the same day or next day or something like that. So 2 times in a row, and it's interesting. It's actually really quite big, bigger than it looks in the pictures. But it also looks like a giant toy. It was my first thought.
I don't like it at all. I don't know if we've talked about it in the past, a long time ago, but do you know a Simone Gertz? Simone Gertz on YouTube? She does these awkward builds, but she did Trukla. She built
a Tesla
sedan, and she turned it into Trukla. Yeah. That is 10 times better looking than this. So
acquired taste, yeah.
Okay, yeah, definitely acquired taste, like... bad reasons. Okay.
Well, I give credit for doing something unusual and weird. I kind of admire that, even if it may not be our taste.
Sure.
It's interesting.
Sure.
Hey, okay, don't like it, don't buy it.
let's try to get back on track. I apologize, okay. Folks. But good. I did mention an Icon A5. It's an aircraft, and it was I did buy that and those little parts. Other than that, I meant to just have fun. I wanted to sell stuff. I came home with things I was surprised it didn't sell. But on the other hand, I had most of the deals I had were not bad. Like no one really haggled me to death. And most of the time I just told people to make me an offer and I usually accepted it. There was one, but I will tell you the story. Near the end, when we were packing up and, you know, going back to the flight line, these two kids were at my table and I had a free bin and they were going through it. And then this other family, a father and his two sons, came over about the same time. And the first guy pulled out a landing gear, electric landing gear. He's like, oh, cool, I can make my yada yada plane. And these other kids were digging in it and they go, oh, look, we found this gear and we found this gear. We just need the third one. And the other kid had it. and they said, hey, do you mind if we take that set? Because we'd like to complete. And the kid just went, nope. And he started walking off. I was like, dude. And then the dad immediately said, well, can we buy it from you? And Will goes, how much do you want to offer? And the guy says, we'll give you $2. And he goes, we'll make it $3. I was like, you got it for free. And you're making these people. I was like, it was very uncomfortable. It's like, I almost wanted to pay the kid $3 so I could give it to the other family. But the dad was, you know, the dad was handling it. The other two, his two sons were mad. They were like, why aren't you giving it up? It's like, you don't need it. You don't have the mains. And the guy goes, yeah, but I need this gear. It's like, it was not worth it. It was like, that's why it's free. But anyway, that made me kind of sad. I wish the first kid had just, you know, just said, oh, I'm sorry, I should just give it to you. But there you go. That was the bad taste in my mouth from the swap.
Poor bastard to the hobby.
but you know what, I will say, if you know, the free bin is always a good conversation piece, because usually it's people going, why would I want this? It's like, it's because I don't need it. You know, it's like, and wait, you got something from the free box. You got the breaker, the 30-amp breaker.
Oh, yeah, right here.
Yeah. So I pulled that out of my trailer because I switched to a different type, and it was on the ground in my garage. I was like, I'm never going to use that again. And I threw it in the free bin. Look, see, I helped my friend Fitz.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's what I need for my solar setup. 30-amp sucker? Yeah, baby. Give me what I need. Yeah. And I got a few more things, too.
Your turn. That's your swap meet.
Speaking of free box, so at the pilot registration, they had a free box of stuff. Excuse me. So I was digging through it, and I found a couple of kind of just random stuff that I thought was pretty neat. I grabbed a couple of high-tech servos, some nice HS, what the heck are these? HS 56 servos. And I'll use a bunch of those. I got a Spectrum receiver, of all things. It's an older one, but it's a DSMX. Good for, you know, a little plane or something. I got, I don't know why, but an old Icarus TZO gyro. So I picked it up. You're probably wondering, why would I do that? I don't know if you can see it. Sorry. It actually might be a good thing for my Cricket. So that's why I picked it up.
Just
a little lightweight piece of gyro, if it works. some Hobby King glow plugs. Because, yeah, always use glow plugs. Somebody was nice enough to give me this nice little container of random bits and pieces of stuff, some Cox glow plugs, I mean glow wrenches. So you know who you are. Thank you very much for this. There's some cool stuff in here. Case. So that was my free thing. But I did buy a couple of things. You mentioned getting a good deal. So a guy had this. Sorry, here we go. This is the Horizon Micro AH-64 Apache helicopter. It's just a little, almost UMX size electric helicopter. And he had a really good price on it. I had to do a double take. Are you sure you got that price right? He goes, yeah, it's just the tail rotor is kind of broken and you need some
$10.
TLC. So not much more than that. But what's neat is somebody had given me one of these, but it's missing some pieces. I just had a helicopter, but it's missing a canopy and a few other, and I think the landing gear. So I was like, Perfect. I have a good tail gear. I can, you know, clutch the two together and make one good working one. And it even comes with a little transmitter. It has a, you know, a dedicated whatever transmitter for this. I don't need it, but it's nice that it comes with its own transmitter. So I thought that was a supreme deal to get that. And I don't know if, I think you saw this already. So our buddy Nathan had this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and as soon as he saw me, he says, you want this? And I'm like, oh, you know, it's neat. I don't know. So, no, you want this. You're going to take it.
He should have. What he should have done was put a note on it that says, purchase by Fitz before you got there.
He did that after I looked at it. He actually annotated the note that says, this for Fitz.
Oh, he did. I just made that up. That's awesome.
No, he did. I don't know what I did with it. I put the sticker somewhere. Basically, he says, you know, he gave me a deal I couldn't refuse. So I'm sorry for those listening. Sorry about that. This is a, I looked it up. It's called an FS. I'm a little too close. Oh, wait a minute. I think I can switch cameras. Hold on 1 second. See if I can get the other camera up.
If you go to present, you can add camera.
Is it present?
An extra camera.
Oh, extra camera.
But look at Fitz going all technical.
There it is.
So proud of him. Yep. And then you just add it to the stage.
And add the stage.
And I'll swap.
All right. There we go. I got the wide angle camera. So for those listening, this is a what they call an FSW2, I believe it is. Or two or three. I don't know why it's not a one. And it's a Ford Swept Wing model airplane, 80s vintage. I found a RCM magazine article on it in one of the archives somewhere online, and it was always neat. I've known about these, and I think I even seen one fly before, and I thought, well, that's really cool. It's a really funky looking plane. If you go to our YouTube page or take a look at it, it looks like a regular sport, almost like a Quickie 500 kind of fuselage, but the wings are swept forward, and so it's got this sort of switchblade look to it. And I believe it was meant for a 40 size engine, and I thought, well, it might make actually a nice electric conversion, along with being just an unusual Ford Swept kind of thing. I understand they're actually quite fast for what they are, and they have really good stall characteristics. It's got little stuff on the bottom to make it easier to look. And it's very just simple four-channel, nothing fancy. I think it uses one servo for the ailerons in the middle. Very old school in the way it's set up. But I thought I couldn't resist it. I thought, well, that'd be just too cool to get this sucker fly. And maybe I'll make a video about it or something if I get a chance. So thanks, Nathan, I think. and we mentioned it before, Lee was kind enough to videotape while I was there. Hot off the press is the come over here, break it, the FMS CJ6, which is a quite nice plane. It flies really, really nice. Retracts, center flap, thrust reversing, speed controller on it. And so I was able to get some video of it and stuff like that for my review. And it's just a really quite a really, really nice flag model. Oh, he's got pictures up already. So yeah, if you go to the hobby view page, and you'll see me putting it through his paces, having some fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same swap meet.
I want to see this part right here. I haven't looked at it yet.
Oh, my first test in a reverse.
No, that wasn't it.
You missed it. Yeah, go a little earlier.
Okay, was it earlier?
Well, no, maybe not. No, it was later. It was later than that.
It was later, yeah.
So almost. We're watching a video. Right
here we go. Probably this one. This is fun.
No, that's the good one.
That's brakes. Break.
We were testing the thrust reverse. So landing and then backing up. Yeah, it'll back up. The grass was sort of dragging the tail, but... also there's a where I did a botch landing.
I didn't show that part. Yeah, that was fun though.
But yeah, it was. Thanks for videotaping that and got a good workout. Now, be more experimenting with the thing and giving it a workout. I flew it, I think, this past weekend at my field as well.
Yeah. I have to say, I always enjoy hanging out with Fitz and doing his stuff. You know, doing his videos for him, but. he doesn't like give me a script. So sometimes he's like, let's go vertical. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm just trying to reach up there and follow him. He goes, oh, no, we're going to do some flat spins and yada, yada. And it's like, oh, my God, just barely keep up with him. But he has so much fun flying. You don't want to stop him. It's like, can you not do that? Yeah.
Maybe somebody needs some weight training.
Well, I can't read your mind. It's like when you start doing maneuvers.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I need to have him to. I need to get closer to him so I can hear him. Like, this is what I'm going to do in about 5 seconds.
And now, too late.
I'll tell you though, if you watch these videos from Horizon Hobby, you know they're at these events and they're following these jets and so forth. Just the amount of skill they have to track that is amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah. So what happened to my? Speaking of flying, I was going to... What happened?
What do you mean?
Oh, I had a thing queued up and it disappeared. Or did I close it?
The pink plane? The little pink plane that you have on the bottom of the screen? You don't see it?
You see it?
Yeah. Want me to add it?
Yeah, go ahead and add it. Oh, there it is. I don't know why I missed it. Okay. So anyways, I was going to jump on to the next thing if we're good with the Northwest Bot Meet. Congratulations on a good event. Looks like your club did really well. And
biggest crowd I've ever seen out there.
I guess we should mention this is the first time you mixed the swap meet with the fly-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like that's a winning strategy.
Oh yeah, and the food was great. Those hamburgers were awesome.
I had a minor criticism.
What?
It was a warbird fly, right?
Yeah.
Did we not see two planes that weren't warbird flying around?
All right. Well, you should have shot him down.
Well, in that vein, instead of saying a warbird fly, why don't you just make it a scale fly? That way, warbirds and other scale planes are welcome.
I agree with that. Yes.
Can you make that a suggestion to the club leadership?
You know, I don't know whose Waco was flying. So.
Oh, it was a Waco and it was a racer too that was flying. It's definitely not warbird.
Ah,
true. But the thing is, I like seeing that stuff. I'm not against it. I just thought, well, why not just make this a scale fly-in instead of a warbird? We have 10,000 warbird fly-ins here in Houston, but we don't really have anything that says just scale. You know, Bomber Field, maybe.
And, well, because it says Big Bird. That's Big Bird.
And that's Big Bird. But it'd be nice to have, like, an all size scale fly-in that you do with your swap meet. That way, it's a little more open to different things.
Fitz's fantastic scale fly-in.
There you go. Right. Yes. That's trademark.
RC Roundtable sponsored premier event.
Yeah. What sucks is, you know, I have several ideas of some neat fly-ins, but it's such a pain to do it at my club that we just had that one fly-in and that's it, which is coming up next month.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways. So last weekend, I was at Scobie Field. I told you about this, Lee. A quick story. So you guys are familiar. We've talked about the SE Aero Design event. The Society of Automobile Engineers has a collegiate series, which means it's for colleges for you guys and, not paying attention. And, what they do is they build and design model airplanes to compete in various categories and doing various tasks. And they contacted us, our NASA club, and asked that, hey, we're building this plane for the event, but we don't know nothing. And we'd like to have somebody from the club come over and just kind of look it over and maybe even test fly it for us to see if everything's okay and give us a little bit of advice before we go off to the competition, because we need to fly it. I guess this might be a rules change because this is the first time I heard this. They said they needed to fly it and videotape it before they went to the event. And that's totally new to me. I never heard that before. So they were sort of in a time crunch. And initially they enlisted the help of the now vice president, Mike Liable, who's gainfully retired and has lots of time to do this kind of stuff. And also has a background in aerospace engineering, so he can talk shop with those kids. These are engineering kids at the Rice University. I guess I should mention that. And so he was talking about, and then he called me up and says, hey, why don't you kind of come over here too? You're more familiar with electric power systems. And we can go over and talk to the kids and see how they're doing. He's already had visited one. He said, hey, let's go over. We can go to visit their lab at the university. And I said, oh, cool. So yeah. So I went over, we went, met with them at their labs and university, and my chin and tongue were stuck to the floor because all the beautiful and glorious stuff they have over there in their labs. And gave them some advice and some pointers, and they said, okay, we'll go and do these things, and we'll try to fly it. And Mike Liable was able to fly it once during a week. They had some landing gear issues, but generally speaking, the flight was successful. And they said, okay, we're going to do these fixes, but we weren't able to do everything we needed to do. Let's try again over the first good day over the weekend. And Mike said, hey, why don't you come over and watch the flight? This is over the weekend, and I'm out of work. And so I said, sure. So we went over to Scobie Field to meet them. And they had to bring the plane in two cars because it's got a 100-something-inch wingspan. It's pretty large, and it's designed to carry a smaller plane that can fly autonomously. And so they wanted to be able to test fly it again and take the other plane up and drop it and do some other stuff and test some fixes they made, their landing gear and that kind of stuff. And so, and lo and behold, when I get there, Mike is like, hey, why don't you fly it? And I, huh? He's like, yeah, it's a big sweetheart. just go ahead and take it up. I said, okay. And so, and this is my story about what we did with the AeroDesign. But before I went there, I just saw this plane. This is not the student's plane. This is just some F-18 kind of thing I thought was funny because it just had this ducted fan basically duct taped to the top of it almost. It ended up flying it. So somebody in the club was flying it. It actually flew quite well.
Can you zoom in much better on the duct tape? Because I swear that's duct tape on. Just scroll in with your mouse to them. But you got to go to the. Yeah, is that duct tape?
Yeah, that is duct tape. Yeah, that's duct tape.
Oh my gosh.
That is duct tape on there. I didn't get a chance to ask too much about it. Just a flat foam board, courtesy of Hobby Lobby or Walmart or whatever. I think that was a 70-millimeter fan on there. I don't know what kind of use for batteries. You can see a receiver, maybe a stabilizer.
Kind of 12, 14 blade.
Free Sky. Seven, pretty nice fan.
Yeah,
and he just threw it and flew it around. I think it was like only the second or third flight on it. You can see it's just a beat up a little bit. But I just thought that was neat to show you guys. Oh, he's got a little reinforcement on the tail. You see that?
hot glue to the rescue.
Oh, I just noticed that. Look at the servos on the elevator. Just hot glued onto the top of the...
Yep.
Well, if it's crazy and it works, it's not crazy, right? But anyways, sure. Let me get back to the real stuff. So let's talk about... I haven't really... filtered out all the pictures, so I may go through some quickly. So here we show there's four of the students, two guys, two ladies, young kids, engineering students all, and Mike's on the right there helping them assemble it and do some of the basic work and help them out with some little nuances of stuff. Let me go. There he is looking at something or another. That's the carrier plane, the payload. It's got a prop in the middle. There's a no, in the front, excuse me. So it's a little delta wing thing with a GPS, and it can be flown manually or autonomously. So to answer Terry's question, yes, it has a manual override on it. And you can see here that they have their own laser cutter, so they can do all the laser cutting work. I believe they have their own milling machine, so they milled all this all the foam for the plane. And they have 3D printer, so parts of it in the front is 3D printed. They just do really, really cool stuff and tools they have to use. So it's not very big. It was designed to fly to a certain location and land, so it has altitude sensors and inertial sensors and GPS and that kind of stuff, and telemetry. So this is a plane built by students who probably never built a model airplane in their life, so it's a little rough around the edges. They use what look like just regular tape for the hinges. You can see there.
Yeah, but I thought that was kind of funny. Tape on covering?
Tape on covering, yes.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. There's a few things we, SS modelers, were a little bit cringe. But again, this is the first time I've ever built an airplane. So the fact that it flew at all without flying apart was an accomplishment. We tried to help them as much as we can, but we can't design it for them. We can't build it for them. We really got to be careful not to overly guide them, if you know what I mean. This is their project. This is their learning experience. We can make sure the plane is safe enough to fly, but it's going to be rough around the edges. It has a power limiter, so I took a picture of it. They're limited to 750 watts, so basically one horsepower, all effective purposes, for a large plane that normally would have 3 or 4 horsepower flying it. And so, oh, it's still made by New Motors. So New Motors, electric motors. He's pretty well known in the high performance glider stuff area.
When we were at SAE in Dallas, those were Deans.
Oh yeah, I guess he may offer various plugs now instead of just 90s? Deans.
Is that 60 or 90s?
I think they are. I believe they're 90s.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Yeah, it looks like a 90. And so I just thought it was much smaller than I thought. I thought, you know, it's going to be some huge thing, and it's really, really tiny. It's smaller than the connectors. And it's designed to throttle back when you hit, if you go over 750 watts. So it didn't. So we were talking, one of the things we told him is that, hey, you really need to try various props to see if you get a little more power out of it, because it was very marginal on power. And here it is, mostly together. You can see the size of the thing. You know, there's Mike was way down there, and Mike is a pretty tall guy, and it takes up a lot of real estate. But they got together.
I love that the nose and the mains are all oleo nose gear.
Yes, they're all oleo struts. Yeah, they got all oil struts, and they had to rework landing gear a little bit. Landing gear was actually pretty nice they had on it. Hopefully, it's strong enough. And then there's kind of they're just sitting together.
Those are so small.
the wheels just
look like tail wheels.
They're tiny. The nose gear barely steers, but it steers enough. Do I have the picture of it? There's me looking at it. There it is. So we had the badass of what's the name of his store? Remember he was a guest on the show.
Golly, I
got his name. And Scorpion Motors is the company, and he was on. Looking at our guy, we talked to him a bit.
Innovative Designs,
believe it or not. Innovative Designs. There we go. Yes, and he Scorpion's a different company. Sorry, Innovative Designs, and they're using his motor, one of his motors, and it was a big one. This is rated for like 2,000 watts, and they're only putting like 700 watts through it. So it's good to see that they're using one of his motors from somebody we know on the show. Sorry, I don't have any flight picks. They do, but I wasn't able to get them in time. So, but it flew, and it flew pretty good. It was an interesting experience. So this thing, I guess that's the only thing I have. I'll talk about that in a second. So this thing, it flies, but there's almost no margin on it as far as excess power. It'll do a very, very shallow climb out. And every time I took a turn, I made sure I was either level or in a slight dive when I turned it. And but I got it around. I even did a couple passes at one flight. I flew it 2 times. And it takes a bit to get off, but it does it within the space needed. And it flies. It's like a real big, lumbering. Somebody said it kind of like a Telemaster, and it's probably fairly close. Probably not quite as maneuverable as a Telemaster, although the ailerons are actually pretty good. But the rudder is almost not effective, except for steering on the ground. The elevators and ailerons work just fine. It has flaps, but I didn't use them. I thought it might just be a little too much drag for the setup. But, you know, for what they did a really good job. I congratulated them and said, hey, I know this is the first time you guys built a model airplane, and you got it done in time, and it flies actually really quite well. We've been to these competitions, and some of these planes we've seen, it's amazing that they even stayed in, they were even controllable. I mean, some of those planes, can be a complete handful to fly. And this one was actually relatively relaxing to fly, actually, other than just, you know, you got to fly it on the wing. So it was a good experience. This is a close-up. They use electromagnets to hold on the little plate that they drop, and had these neat little electromagnets that really didn't work all that well. They need to do. They're going to go and see what they can do. I think they're going to replace it with a little more powerful magnets. They kind of work, but they weren't enough for the aerodynamic forces. So it's one of those things. Again, it's a learning experience for the kids. What looked good on paper doesn't necessarily always work good in practice. I think that's it. Oh yeah, in the second flight, first flight was completely empty. Second flight, they actually added about 4 pounds of water for ballast to see if it flew. And it did. It was noticeable, a little bit heavier, but it still flew, and I was able to get it up, do a couple passes and land it, and not hurt the landing gear. This all done on a 6S They didn't fly with a 10,000. I think they flew with a 6,000 our flights. So they're limited to a 6S battery. I think that's it. They have a laptop and some telemetry so they can get stuff back, GPS and all kinds of stuff. So it's pretty high tech. So hopefully the competition is this weekend. If you're listening to this podcast, it's probably over by now. But this year it is in, what do you want to call it, Florida. So Air Design East is where they're going. So I won't be attending. You're showing a picture of some previous years. I told him, it's too bad you're not going to Fort Worth. What's that?
No, I was, sorry, I interrupted on your other footage, but I had this video. So we were talking about how we participated before. And I'm just going to let this video slide. But if you guys are listening, you can go to our RC Roundtable YouTube channel and look up SAE Aero Design 2017. And you can see this highlight video that we put together. And it was entertaining to say the least.
We said it before. If you ever have a chance to go, it's in your area, you really should go. It is, highly entertaining. But it's also really, really neat what these kids come up with, you know, from the sublime to the really, really oddball. And in fact, the kids said, hey, doesn't our design look kind of weird and kind of funny? It's like, no, your design looks actually pretty normal compared to some of the other stuff I've seen flowing. Yours is really kind of very, very basic.
I remember this one. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Smash.
Oh, yeah. I came through the trees.
You know, it's funny because I'm looking at this one, but that was just hilarious. I mean, again, some of the builds are amazing. What was the one that went into the water? Weren't they from another country, like Sweden?
Oh,
or
yeah. One did go into water. I think they're from Canada, maybe.
Yeah.
And there's previous year dropping stuff. Each year is a little different, too. So they change the rules every year. And sometimes they drop bombs, they drop other planes, or they do all kinds of stuff. So, and there's different classes, like we mentioned before. You've got the one I was playing with was the expert class, and that usually involves a lot of electronics and lots of teamwork and more sophisticated things. The standard class usually is just you got to lift a certain amount of weight that's a certain physical size or attribute with limited power. And the plane is limited in size. You say you're limited to this wingspan, this square inches of area, whatever. And that's always interesting. And then they have the micro class, which is each year it's a little different. You got to fit in a pizza box, or you got to fit in a tube, or you got to do this or that, and then take it out, assemble it, and also lift weights. And here we have one that just refuses to have a good ground handling. And it's funny because one of the things we did hammer into the team is landing gear design. Landing gear can sometimes make or break. We've seen so many times where so they did not put the time and effort into having good landing gear, causing all kinds of issues just getting off the ground. And even this team had their issues with landing gear, and they had to go and do a quick redesign of something because they were having some issues with it. So maybe next year they'll have it back up in Fort Worth and we'll get a chance to go again. But good luck, guys, and we'll be keeping apprised of your accomplishments, and good luck to all the other teams too. If you're in Florida, I think it's in the Clearwater area. Look it up. Too late. If you're listening to this, it's probably too late. Sorry.
Well, look at the highlights on YouTube.
Look at the highlights. Usually teams bring their cameras, so they have a highlight. So anyways.
Been so many more years since then. And if you don't, also while you're looking up on the internet for these events, also look up for Design, Build, and Fly.
That's the AIAA, if I remember correctly. It's Design, Build, and Fly. In fact, this team, I think their previous students did the Design, Build, Fly, but this year they decided to do the SAE.
Yeah, I think that's what Embry-Riddle was like. Embry-Riddle used to do SAE, and then now they've switched to Design, Build, Fly.
Yeah, I don't know the nuances of that, if it's cheaper, easier, more challenging. I really don't know the details, but either way, it's good. It's a good experience for them. So, and that's all I got to say about that.
Well, I see something in the back corner of your workshop. Is that the Peyton pole?
This?
No, the other shoulder.
Yes. Yes, you can see the tail. It's kind of sitting on the ground. That is the new third scale Peyton pole from Legend Hobby. Seagull Models makes it. and it's almost ready, really. I am about 2 seconds away from cranking up the engine for the first time. I just had to set it aside to do some other things. But yeah, this is the Pete and Paul. I don't know if I could. You want to pull it up on the table, or
if you have time, yeah, we're good.
I do. Let me see if I have the range on my microphone here. I mean, not microphone, earpieces. I think I do. We just on. Yeah, I do. Give me a second to remove the FSW off the table here. I'll stick that over here.
Look at all that Fitz fuel back there.
There's some Fitz fuel. Yeah, yeah, I made some fuel for a local person. He wanted some special mix of the good stuff.
We need to get you a hazmat suit like they have in Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Do a fun little short video of you mixing Fitz fuel. And you got to make a batch that's blue.
Oh, yeah. Get some blue kit in there or something.
Look at that.
All right. Sorry for you folks listening. You have to go to the YouTube page.
Yeah, but this is the... Let me be Terry. So what Fitz has on the table right now is this gorgeous red and black Pete and Paul that says Forever Young, Miss Forever Young. And he's got a pilot in there too. Awesome.
Did it come with it? There is a pilot figure. No, it doesn't. This is extra. We decided a pilot figure might be kind of neat. So
absolutely. Yeah. You can't
find it. So yeah, for something that big. So I'll take it off and give you a closer shot. The pilot... Oh, you're going to kill me. I forgot where the pilot came from.
You can update us later. Look at the legs sticking there.
Yeah, I'll see if I have a tag. I'll look for about 2 seconds. See if I have it. Yeah, here it is. From warbirdpilots.com.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, Warbird Pilots.
Good stuff.
I'm not sure if Seagull, if Legend Hobbies will be carrying them or not. You have to check them out. But so we were wondering, like, will this fit? And he just barely fits.
Okay. I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. I'm going to have the Warbird Pilots people make a pilot of you. And then people are going to buy the Fitz special pilot.
You mean my likeness?
Yes. I'm going to sell Fitz pilot figures.
Nobody's going to buy that.
Oh, Terry and I are. We're going to put Fitz pilots on all our airplanes. That's great.
So let me talk about this pilot because it's actually really nice. It's got he came with goggles that can come off. He's fully posable. You can really move the arms around and the hands. He has a scarf and I think a couple other accessories I took off because he's sort of a World War I-ish pilot. He had a leather helmet, and so I took that off. But I thought the goggles looked nice and the leather jacket looked modern enough. Very posable. I kind of bent him over at the waist and kind of scoot him down a little bit. You can see his legs. At first I thought I was going to have to, not decapitate. What do you call it? Remove his legs, surgically.
Amputate.
Thank you. But what I ended up doing was, I don't know if you can see, is I just basically cut a slot out in the bottom front of the tub of the, the turtle deck kind of cockpit thing here, and stuck his legs in, and they fit in there. So I said, oh, great. I don't have to, amputate anything. He has boots. I took the boots off because you can't see them anyways. It makes it easier to fit. And so I kind of scoot him down in there, and he's roughly the right size. I think he's just a slightly bit, he might be just a touch too big.
It is, but you need to give him like a 5 o'clock shadow, maybe an eye patch.
Oh yeah. Arr, <apart. laughs> <Exactly. laughs> Yeah. Cause it was third scale, and this is third scale, I believe. But yeah, he's maybe just a touch. But I think a quarter scale might be too small. So it's either make him a little too big or a little too small. I guess it's up to you. Maybe a quarter scale might look a little better. But I was able to scooch him down enough to make it look good. So
okay, enough about the pilot. Let's talk about the plane.
Yeah. All right, we got the plane. You can take a look. It's got instrument decal. He's this little control stick for the front as well, which is pretty nice. So this is the I think a relatively new engine. I got a Stinger 63 in there for a gas engine, which I thought was a kind of an odd size. Oh, right, fit right in there.
I'm assuming it's a single
cylinder. Yeah, it's, you can't see it. It's on the other side. But I haven't started up yet. It's what, 100 and what inch wingspan is this thing? Get the manual right here. 108 inch wingspan. There we go. It's all balsa ply film covering on it. The wing is in two pieces, technically three pieces, but it's the cabanes are fixed, so you slide the wings on to the center section. I got some metal struts. It's really, really pretty neat. It's got a working suspension on here. Inside the bags are actual springs in there, so you can, it'll actually spring apart.
Are those plastic hubs?
These?
Yeah.
Yes, they're plastic hubs. I actually painted them. They come white. And a lot of pictures I saw, they were the same color as the planes. I thought,
that's a good match. That.
Yeah, that was just some spray paint. I happen to have some, Rust-Oleum. Ended up being almost a perfect match.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm cringing about is that the last time you had plastic wheels that size, they kept breaking on you.
Yeah, I had that on the Marine Soldier. It looked like the exact same ones on the Marine Soldier. And I did break them once, but I've flown a bunch of other times and haven't broken them. So
okay, maybe the
cool thing,
maybe the shocks. Yeah.
Hopefully the shocks will take some of that out of it, and it shouldn't be a problem. Well, we'll see. Don't know what else to say. The wings are over on the side. They have struts, and let me see if I can grab one real quick. Again, apologies if you're just listening. You can go to the video. The wings are the same. They're big heat shrink covered balsa ply with some nice metal struts on the bottom.
Very nice.
And interesting, they've got extra, I don't know if you can see it. Let me go down here. Some guide wires too that are crossed in addition to the struts that's a pretty neat. And then pretty much everything's all load bearing too. So it should be pretty nice with a big giant decal on the bottom. So it's a nice five channel plane. I got a remote choke on it, but nothing. It went together really quite fast. Most of the time, I think was getting the cowl worked out. I've got a bunch of wings here. I don't know if I can show you. That's the only thing I wasn't all that thrilled with is I had to. I'm going to turn it around here a little bit. Kind of cut a bit more away from the cowl than I would have liked because of the way the muffler stuck out of the engine. Can you see that?
Yeah. How about painting it black?
It's not terrible, but it's just that the muffler kind of sticks out the side.
How about painting it black?
Painting the muffler?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Paint that
they have high temperature.
Yeah, the high temperature Rust-Oleum they do for like grills, barbecue grills.
Oh, really? That's a good idea. I think I might just do that.
Or if you find a place, powder coat it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a paramount idea, old chap.
You're welcome.
So I had to cut away a bit of the cowl. The cowl itself is actually really nice. There's some vent. Oh, let me turn the light on. Maybe you can see better. There's some nice details. I don't know if that helped or not. In the cowl, in the front, and there's some cooling holes, sort of some dummy cylinders. My little tap and I cut out for the bottom cylinder. So generally speaking, it's really, really nice plane. Really, it's pretty substantial, good size itself. Uses the same exact tail wheel that I have in the shock hub, which I thought was funny. But so that's it. The AerCap Pete and Paul from our buddy at Legend Hobbies. There we go. Tomas. Sorry, you can see it. Tomas. He's been on the show. And so I think he's got some ready to ship. Hopefully I'll get the chance to fly it really soon. I'm going to try to at least run up the engine this weekend, get it broken in a little bit, get it all tuned up and ready to go. I did something stupid. I knew it was a risk, and I did it anyways. So I've got these great antique propellers from, I think they're Azores. And I have one on the Marine Solnier. And I had an extra one. I said, oh, this would be perfect because it's about the same size, 60cc engine. I'll put it on the AerCap. So I installed it because I was going to take some pictures. And I stuck it and I put it on the floor, away off the table. And I went on the table to do something. I heard a crunch, and I broke the tip of the propeller off.
Dang.
Yes, that was a $40 mistake right there. I was like, God damn it. So it was my own fault. So now it's just a paperweight.
Bummer.
But anyways, I got a replacement. It just came in the other day. But still. So anyways, I think that's it. So we don't...
The only thing that I remember you telling me was that the way the cowl was shaped, it would be very difficult to convert that to the Ford flathead style. Pete and
Paul. Yeah, the Ford Flathead has a radically different, quite a bit different on the nose and the cowl.
So but I sure would like to. I mean, as ugly as it is, that'd be awesome if you could find a way to either, you know, replace that cowl, you know, if that's possible.
Well, the option too is I have another Pete and Paul, a little one. I think it's the House of Balsa one, I believe. It's roughly 40-inch span. I can do it to that one since that one's not even finished yet and it's all wood. I can kit bash that one and hack it up, make it look more, and that'll be an electric one, so it'll be more room to work with.
Yeah, 3D print all that stuff or resin.
Yeah, exactly. Because I agree, it will look cool, and I'd have to do the one with the radiator stuck in front of the pilot because
you have to bug catcher. That's what I always call it. It's just a bug catcher, man.
Yes, it's so ridiculous that you have to put it on the model.
Well, cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that and hopefully capturing some photos and video for you.
Yeah, that's my plan. Hopefully I can get up, we can get together and we can do some photographs and stuff with it.
Let's do that. You got anything else coming up? Well, talk about your club's event.
Okay, April 27th, the Johnson Space Center Radio Control Club is having their annual Warbird fly-in. So we've tried it last year. We got rained out. And the year before that, we got virused out. So hopefully this will be the first time we can have it run since pre-COVID.
It's been a while.
So if you're in the Houston area, go to jscrcc.org, and we should have all information about the event. There's a little bit of a nuance with our club is that you've got to pre-register.
Correct.
Try to pre-register at least a week before the event because we are a closed facility and we have to get your name on the guard list. Otherwise, the nice, friendly security guards will tell you to go away and not come back. So pre-registering is completely free. We just want to get you on the list. And then if you want to come, then there's a pilot's fee once you get there. But you can pre-register, no harm, no foul if you don't make it. And that's the only detail. But it's a great feel. We have a great time. We're getting ready. We're going to do some field improvements. We got long runways. Everybody who's come in the past. Oh, we got some great prizes. We've got some really, really snazzy pilot prizes and raffle prizes. Come on down.
So I do have the flyer up here. So it's $25. Quick, take a snapshot. This is also available on Facebook. But he already gave the website, jscrcc.org. But yeah, I've been several times. I have a lot of photos that I've, galleries that I've taken for you. Of course, those are probably on my Lee Ray photography page, but I'll add them to my Raviation page and link. But it's always a lot of fun and some interesting accidents. What was the name of that rock or something down on the runway? What do you call it?
There's the landing gear remover.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very rarely hit. Of course, that said, somebody always hits it. But but there's plenty of spot. It's almost like if you hit it, you got to try to hit it. There's that, and there's a thing way, way far away, some sort of natural gas or gas line pump thing.
And a guy hit it.
Many miles away, and a guy hit it. It's like...
I saw that. I think Ryan was videotaping that, so I think that's... I think Ryan got it. And you hear him in the camera, I got it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's Murphy's Law. If it can't happen, it will. But it's actually a really nice field, so...
And darn it, who was it that... who won the P-47? Was it, I guess, 5 years ago?
Oh, that was Donahue, Jeff Donahue. Donahue's, yeah. Him or Jeff, his father won it.
Yeah, but you built it for his dad, right?
I think his dad won it, and he wasn't interested in flying, so he gave it to Jeff.
Oh, wow.
And then Jeff asked me to build it, and I said, yeah, I'll build it, but I got to videotape it and fly it. And he said, yeah, no problem. And so I built it, flew it, flew great. He still has it. He's, in fact, he was talking about, he just moved, so he's got more room now. So he said, hey, I want to get that P-47 running again. He had an issue with the one of the retracts, so he's got to replace one of the retracts, get it flying. But it was, he flew it a few times too, and it was, it's a sweetheart flying plane. The, it was the Hangar 9. Remember correctly? Yeah, Hangar 9 20cc. Yeah. So it was.
I was jelly.
You were jelly?
I was jealous.
Oh. Yeah. We have a good fort. Even just some members of our clubs have gotten some new planes that they want to fly at the event too.
Maybe you could get your Bearcat ready.
Oh crap! I don't know.
That's pushing it.
Tight. It might be pushing. It's actually not that far. It's
an ARF.
It's mostly done. I've got the engine mounted in it.
You did? You got the Sato mounted?
Yeah, it's mounted. It's right. Yeah, it's sitting on the floor.
Did I not
see
that? Sato is mounted. That's awesome.
No, I don't. You got a second? Maybe I can pull it out.
Oh, yeah. Hey, this is worth watching. This is the cool discounted Sato engine I found at a state sale. And Fitz goes, I know a perfect plane for that. This is the plane he won at the Round Top Expo.
Yeah.
Sadly, the one and only RC Round Top
Expo. That's terrible.
Round Top RC Expo.
That's
a bummer. So yeah, let's all pick on Fitz. Make sure he gets the Bearcat. So the next episode, we talk about it. I will try to have my Corsair, my gas Corsair, finish. I'm still working on the retracts. I've got to drill into some high end steel and rethread screws, but I got all the parts I need.
Sorry about making noise. I had to roll up the.
Sorry.
Whatchamacallit. All right.
Give him the screen again.
You can mute me if you need to.
Nope. Just watching what's happening in the background.
Yeah, I got to. You see behind the scenes a little bit. Come on, baby.
I was gonna say, if Terry were here, he was like, you know, we do have an audio podcast, guys. So make sure you're talking so that those who are listening, driving, and we do apologize. But ever since we've switched to this ability to see each other and talk to each other while we're doing the show, we end up just watching the screen. Look at that size of that Bearcat.
I should do this. Slowly, baby.
That is.
Slowly, I turn.
We did have some photos. I just don't remember seeing the engine, but yeah, look at that.
So there we go. You can see Sato 90 3-cylinder on that sucker. I've got mounted along with the Kilo Ring muffler. I don't know if you can see it. Sorry. There we go.
Yeah, we see it.
Bottom. Yeah. So, and I think I got the servos hooked up too, if I remember correctly, in there.
How does I got he the ignition find module. Time?
So, yeah, I think, well, part of it is hooked up. The link, part of the linkage is in there. It's all taped up.
Did we determine that this had been run already?
I think it has been run, but probably not much.
Maybe just bench.
It looks like it's been run. Looking at the cylinder, the exhaust ports and stuff, it looks like there's some carbon in there and some stuff. So it looks like it may have been run for an indeterminate time. So that's the question is how, it's mostly hooked up. How much has it been run? And, you know, does it run? It seems to have good compression and stuff in it. Actually, the servos are in there. The throttle servo is in there. It's a little weird, and as I kept looking, it's like, well, where's the choke? I want to put a choke servo in there. Why don't I have a choke? And I poke around the manual, and eventually the manual says, there's no choke. You don't use a choke. You just start it. Just hook up an electric starter to it, and
hold on.
Have enough good fun. Yeah, hold on.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to make sure I put a hub on it and a starter. I have a meaty starter, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
The only thing I really need to do that I'm thinking about is I have to mount get the cowl around the exhaust on this Kilo Ring muffler. I think it's the only thing I really need to do. I might have to trim the bottom piece with a. Cut it down a little bit to fit the muffler, the cowl better. But it is mostly done. I think the wings have the wings have the retracts in them, and the servos are all in here and set up. It's just one of those things I gotta get around to finishing up. And
well, Shoot, man, let's do it. I want to see you fly that so I can fly with you with my Corsair. I'll get my Corsair done. You get the Bearcat done.
All right. So, you know, I was going to kind of lay low this weekend, not really do anything for the most part. So maybe I'll find some time this weekend to work on it a little more.
Sounds good.
Yeah, now that the Pete and Paul is done, and spoiler, the Shock Cub is done. Not Shock Cub, Savage Bobber.
Yeah.
I got so
You had to do the repair.
I had to do the repair. I've repaired it, and spoiler, I've flown it again.
Oh,
after the repair, so and did some video. So I'm now in the editing phase. So. Technically speaking, the workbench is kind of clean.
Okay.
Relatively speaking.
Do it.
Come to think of it. I had kind of forgotten about it. Thanks for reminding me about it.
Bear cat. Yep.
Yeah. Maybe I can get to the point where I can crank up the engine too this weekend.
Let's do that. We're on a roll, man. Keep you motivated. I'm going to call you every day.
That is if I have a prop.
Oh.
I hope I have a prop.
I'm sure you can find one.
What's interesting is the prop, it's the hub on the engine doesn't have, you know, you see
the threads.
The other ones have the four, you know, the four whatever screw hub mm-hmm. for the props. This one is just one big bolt in the center. There's no four bolts for the prop to hold it on. I think that's interesting. I think I have a prop for this. If not, I might have to go pop over to the hobby store because it's a big one.
Do you know what prop it takes? 2412?
Something like that.
Yeah, I just pulled it up.
Sato 90?
The FG90R3 takes a 2412.
24? Wow! Yeah, we're doing this live. I don't know if I have a 24. I thought I might have had a 24. Oh, wait, what's this? 2410!
Hey, it'll be slower.
Well,
you just can run it. Run it up, exactly. Yeah, you don't want a lot of pitch to run up.
No, you don't want a lot of pitch. A lot of times you don't want a lot of pitch unless the engine's broken in anyways. So
yeah.
That's fine. It'll be
look at that.
Fine for me. Okay, I have no excuses.
The gods have spoken. You must work on the Bearcat.
All right. This is a Bearcat weekend.
I love it.
All right.
All right, well, that's it.
I'll even leave it on the table.
Good. We ended on a happy note. I will go work on my landing gear this weekend.
Happy note.
In fact, I haven't run that Corsair in over a year, so I haven't, you know, God, I hope the DLE 20 is okay. Unless they did something to the car, but I'm hopeful that I can start it right back up.
All right.
Well, that was fun. Even without Terry.
Yes. We don't need no stinking Terry.
He just picks on us. He always has to remind us to say the right thing and define stuff we're talking about and explain things. Really.
Getting all technical and stuff.
He's such a parent.
Well, so much for a short show.
Yeah, I agree. We were going to keep it short, but we had too much fun. But we'll end it right here. So, guys, thank you for listening and watching. We appreciate you so much. I was just, you know, going on my directories the other day and just looking at all the episodes we've done and how much fun we've had over the years. And I mean, we love doing it and we hope you enjoy the show. So, you know, you can go to rcroundtable.com to find our website and you can download the MP3s directly. If you have any messages you'd like to share with us or Terry, since he checks the email, contact at rcroundtable.com. And of course, if you're watching this now on YouTube, you're already there. But if you're not, go to youtube.com at RC Roundtable, and please hit subscribe and smash the little bell so you'll get all the shows when they come out. Hopefully we'll have Terry next week and a live show shortly after that. So we're getting close to the Warbird event, so it might be around that time, right before or after. And also, just a reminder that April 8th is the eclipse, so hope you guys are making your reservations to experience that.
So stock up on food and ammo.
I am working hard right now through the AMA. I've got a club that's in the path near Waco. Unfortunately, the town has commandeered the runway for some special event, and I've already talked to the president of the club, so I'm hoping they'll find a way to get me to, you know, in so I can participate. But I'm really hoping to, you know, be at one of our clubs for the eclipse like the AMA will be, because – and I'm sure I've mentioned this, Muncie is in Dead Center Path, and the AMA is hosting and people to hang out there at IAC to enjoy the show. So should be a lot of fun. That's all I got.
Cool beans. All right. I couldn't have said it better. We will see you next time.
See you guys.
Please visit our website at rcroundtable.com. That's where you will find all of our podcast episodes. You can also find a little bit of background information about the show host and leave comments and suggestions about the show. There are links to a few of our favorite vendors and also links to our various social media accounts. Thank you for watching and listening.